This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Jamie Dickerman. Tyler Donaldson will have an update as well. Looking at radar, pretty heavy, extensive rains across much of North Dakota, northwest Minnesota, really the northern half of Minnesota. Looking at those showers, they should be going into Canada by early afternoon with lingering showers continuing into the evening. A cold front will bring gusty northwest winds over 30 miles an hour. And some areas in northeastern North Dakota could see up to an inch of rain by tomorrow, of course, slowing the fall harvest. High temperatures today will warm in the 60s to near 70s in the south, northern regions remaining in the 50s and 60s. Checking in on rainfall totals, Fertile, Minnesota, 83 hundredths, Stanley, North Dakota, 73 hundredths, Steele, North Dakota, 42 hundredths, and Strasburg, North Dakota, 34 hundredths.
The Trump administration is seeking another $20 billion to help bail out Argentina. That's on top of the $20 billion already provided to the South American country. The administration is taking fresh criticism for propping up the weak Argentine government at a time when the South American country is seizing soybean sales to China.
The Trump administration is proposing that additional $20 billion in financing for Argentina. House Agriculture Committee ranking member Angie Craig criticizing that plan.
This is such a slap in the face to America's family farmers who are hurting like crazy right now because of Trump's trade war. Soybean farmers in particular have lost all of their business. China has taken that business to Brazil and guess where? Argentina. So Donald Trump and Republicans are literally bailing out our competitors and leaving family farmers in the dust. It's egregious.
This new funding would come on top of that $20 billion credit swap line the U.S. Treasury pledged earlier in the month to Argentine President Javier Milei to help stabilize that country's collapsing currency.
President Trump's threat of 100% tariffs on China may not happen on November 1st. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent seemed to suggest a trade truce is possible between the U.S. and China.
I believe China is open to discussion, and I am optimistic that this can be de-escalated. Ultimately, we are confident in the strong relationship between President Trump and President Xi. We've had substantial communication with the Chinese over the past few days, and we believe that there will be more forthcoming this week.
In a news briefing at the Treasury Department, Bessent said Trump still plans to meet with Chinese President Xi at the economic summit in South Korea at the end of this month.
U.S. soybean farmers are urging President Trump's administration to turn trade and biofuels promises into action. The American Soybean Association says ongoing trade negotiations must restore access to the Chinese market, especially as harvest continues. The ASA is also calling on the EPA to finalize higher renewable fuel blending requirements for 2026 and 2027 and to reallocate small refinery exemptions to larger refineries. The group says these steps are critical to supporting biofuel production using U.S. soybean oil.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz visiting a grain farm yesterday to highlight the impacts of federal trade policies on Minnesota's soybean industry. Speaking at the Faribault Farm, Walz says tariffs have resulted in billions of dollars in lost sales and created financial strains on rural communities across the state. Walz explaining these policies have led to the loss of export markets, lower commodity prices, and ongoing financial strain for agricultural producers. Walz says China, which was once the largest producer of U.S. soybeans, is now expanding trade relationships with South America instead of American farmers.
The U.S. Senate is expected to vote on a continuing resolution to reopen the government today. This would be the 10th vote, and the outcome is not expected to be any different than the first nine times. Majority Leader John Thune also plans to bring the annual defense spending bill to the floor today. That bill passed out of committee on a bipartisan basis, but it's not known how the Senate Democrats will vote on it this time.
According to a new report from the CoBank Knowledge Exchange, another 4 or 5 quarter point interest rate cuts are expected throughout the end of next year. That would put the baseline interest rate around 3% at the end of 2026. That scenario is expected to provide relief for the ag sector. Fertilizer prices remaining the biggest headwind for farmers. High crop input costs will also impact profitability. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. The U.S. economy is showing mixed signals, creating uncertainty for the Federal Reserve ahead of its late October policy meeting. According to the Fed's latest Beige Book report, overall economic activity remains mostly flat as businesses report higher input costs and more layoffs. Despite that, employment levels are steady and consumer spending continues, largely supported by higher income households. The conflicting trends add pressure for Fed officials who are expected to lower interest rates by another quarter point at the October 28th, 29th meeting.
U.S. cattle's historic run continues as prices again reaching new highs in both live and feeder cattle. Napoleon livestock owner Jim Bitz points to cheap feed and low inventory as the major drivers for the current market.
The demand is high for cattle because, if you got a feedlot and you got to feed cattle, you got to buy cattle. Plus, in our area, and I think generally across the Midwest feeding portion of the United States, there's a lot of feed. I mean, we have a lot of corn, and it's cheap corn. We were in a good area. We got a lot of hay down in silage now. I talked to people. The silage piles are probably as big as they've ever seen them.
The summer sell-off has cows and bulls numbers a bit lower, but Bitz expects that to correct in the coming months.
I would say the thing that there's the least of would be way up cows and bulls, and there's a high demand for that because a lot of them got sold over the summer when this cow market really got high. I look for that maybe to level off or maybe drop a little bit in the next coming months as more and more people, pregnancy check their cow herds as they bring them home, and you'll see more of them type of cattle to market.
While trade talks between the U.S. and outside markets continue, a group of delegates recently traveled to the United Kingdom to further discuss the new framework of a potential trade deal. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has those details.
New U.S. Meat Export Federation Chair-elect Jay Tyler took part in a recent trade trip to the United Kingdom, where he met with groups of farmers, importers, and trade officials to discuss a new trade agreement framework that was recently announced by President Trump.
I was part of the delegation where I went over with the governor of Idaho, who's a rancher himself, to talk about the new trade deal. Talked a lot about the beef deal, but we also realized that there's some opportunities for pork, obviously, if they can work out some of the details on that, where the UK is taking a lot of pork from the European Union right now. So I think it's in the range of between $2 and $3 billion. There's an opportunity for pork, and certainly there's an opportunity for beef if we can get duty-free access to the British market.
Tyler says that U.S. beef and pork would be a good match for the U.K. market, but there are some non-tariff barriers to U.S. products being imported into the U.K. before access to the market.
They've been aligned with the EU for so long, and they're so dependent on import with the European Union that we're not sure what exactly those requirements are going to be, but there's a lot of other access issues that are creating friction that we hope we can see some movement on. Some of the phytosanitary regulations, labeling. I mean, they label right now everything going to the UK is still part of the EU. It's labeled in 8 languages. Each individual piece is labeled. So there's a lot of things like that that are details that make the trade more difficult. So hopefully we can work some of those things out.
The National Farmers Union is calling on President Trump in Congress to deliver immediate economic relief for family farmers struggling with worsening financial conditions. In letters sent to the administration and congressional leaders, NFU urging that aid be directed to those who need it most while addressing deeper issues in the ag economy. The organization says relief efforts should go hand in hand with action to rebuild fair markets, curb corporate consolidation, and expand domestic marketing opportunities for U.S. farm products.
Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says soybean farmers are still feeling the effects of trade tensions with China, while other nations are benefiting from U.S. market losses. Grassley says President Donald Trump's recent meeting with Argentina's president shows a need for more transparency and action at home.
The Trump administration needs to provide more detail on the underlying terms of its agreement to aid Argentina, while long-term solutions are ultimately needed to make Argentina's economy sound. We should remember a part of the solution is more trade, not less trade. The United States and Argentina should work together to reduce trade barriers between each other and to turn away from China.
Grassley says boosting domestic demand for soybeans should also be a priority.
National Oilseed Processors Association crushed nearly 198 million bushels of soybeans in September, up more than 4% from August. Fourth highest crush on record. Soybean oil stocks up 17% from the same period last year. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The Department of Labor's new rule for calculating H-2A wage rates is bringing long-awaited relief to U.S. farmers. National Council of Agricultural Employers President and CEO Michael Marsh says the change corrects years of flawed data that inflated labor costs for agricultural employers.
Department of Labor at that time indicated that they were going to use the USDA's Farm Labor Survey to establish those wage rates. And of course, the USDA's Farm Labor Survey has probably been done for, oh goodness, over 100 years. But the purpose behind the survey from USDA's perspective was to count the number of workers in the United States, not, of course, to establish wage rates in a temporary ag worker program. So as a consequence of that, you had a misuse of data by the Department of Labor in order to establish these wage rates underneath the H-2A program.
Marsh says the new rule, which uses Bureau of Labor Statistics data, offers more realistic pay rates and significant cost savings for the producer.
The Department of Labor estimated that in just the first year of implementation of this, it should save farmers $2.4 billion. And over the life or over 10 years of this new regulation, it'll be over $17 billion once you discount it at an interest rate to present value. So it's a huge win for agricultural employers in the United States, and it's welcome relief because we are, unfortunately, we've been losing so much of our food production to our foreign competition. It's time to start bringing it back home.
South Dakota State University releasing new hard red winter wheat variety. SD Vivian is demonstrating moderate to good resistance to drought, stem rust, and Hessian fly. It's also described as a high-yielding variety with above-average protein. It'll be available for purchase for planting this fall.
Checking markets, Minneapolis wheat here in the overnight trade down by a penny for the December contract at 550 even. Chicago wheat, December, down 3.25. High red winter wheat, same contract, down 3.5. Even money for December corn, 416.75. March, down a quarter penny. Soybeans a bit higher, 3.75 cents higher for November, 10.10 1/4. March, 4.25 cents higher. Checking in on the farm calendar, the Jamestown Chamber of Commerce Ag Energy Committee has their annual Ag Energy Luncheon coming up next Tuesday. It'll be held at the North Dakota Farmers Union headquarters. Their featured speaker will be Frayne Olson from NDSU. Have a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.